Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Man, we got, I mean, it's all here. You got Cooper Flagg's debut. Now, the rest of his team stinks, but.
I know you're going to have something riding on that.
I don't know, man. His team is really, really bad.
You're going to have to tell me about summer league betting.
Yeah, I've got all the good stuff. I know who's got the most edge? Rotate. Well, yeah, like the edge is who's got the best players, right?
And how much we want it.
Yeah, well, that
factors in, right? I mean,
like to me, like usually the teams I want to bet is like, okay, who has the most rotation players?
So, like, okay, Utah then.
Utah has.
But they're Utah's rotation, though, bro.
Right, right. But they're definitely. There's two teams in Summer League that have four players who played 600 plus minutes last year.
This guy, you talk about somebody who's already been through the numbers.
Utah's one of them. Do you know the other?
They're playing that many dudes?
Four guys who played 600 plus minutes.
It has to be a dog team.
Definitely a dog team.
But I don't.
It's so random, you'd probably never get it.
Is it East?
It is the East.
Charlotte.
It's the Raptors.
Ah.
The Raptors have four guys.
Nah, of course it's not Charlotte.
Jamal Shedd.
Okay. Houston.
Mogbo.
Yeah.
Walter. Jacoby Walter.
Okay.
And there's one more who I'm forgetting. But yes, there's four there. The Wizards had three. The Hornets had two. The Heat had two. The 76ers had two, and the Pelicans, if they have Antonio Reeves on the Summer League team, they just waived him, but if they bring him back on the Summer League team, they'll be two.
I mean, I count our big three as three, even though I don't Cam. I guess we don't qualify.
You didn't hit the 600-minute mark.
But we got three. We got a big three, bro.
You do. I mean, no, but
Cam
but
was talking to Kevin KD.
Only Jalen Wells was a real rotation guy, you would say.
Yeah, but Gigi had a year before that.
No, he's a weird case.
He should count.
I'll give you two. I'll give you two. Yeah.
I want two and a half because Cam is shooting that thing like a third one.
Well, he's on a main roster,
but,
so that kind of counts.
And just got up to a standard contract.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I give you the Grizzlies as three.
That's what I think. We got a chance so long as we stay healthy.
Yeah, but you know that's what you got. So
no, I got you. No, those I see where you find your edge now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it starts to get a little stupid because guys sit like Flags. He's played one game probably, right? He'll play tomorrow, and that's likely it. I think Wimby actually played two, and only because his first game, if you remember, was so dreadful that like he had to have the second one.
Right, I do remember.
And there was like reports like he turned down going to a party. He's like, I gotta have another crack at this.
Well, I was seeing we do fade Brad Carson in the playoffs. I was seeing if we could do tail John Martin in summer league.
Oh, no, fade Brad in summer league would be a cinema. No injury reports. No,
I want to keep him on playoffs. That's why we got you on summer league. We're going to tail you because you found the edge. That's what you've told us.
I'm fine with that. I'll give you what I play on summer league. I'm fine with that.
There we go. We got ourselves a little juice the rest of the month here or the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah. I wanted it
to be the rest of the month.
It'll get us through the 20th. So it feels kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, we'll have a playoff preseason game.
Can
you smell it?
I need to get up back fast.
Because you're not. Are they off?
Yes. Weirdly, this week we are off.
So
believe
what are
they me, doing? We are focused on unsportsmanlike, and we got Wimbledon on and something else.
Oh, so that's what it is.
And
they just said take the week off.
It's weird. I mean, you have a decision to make there of who to have in the studio, who not. They're still showing the radio show, which precedes Jeff.
Wow.
And we love it.
Wow.
But Get Up is out of there. So once Greeny's on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah,
they can have Graz in there to host or whatever else.
Yeah, they got Courtney Cronin in there.
They shut it down this week.
I mean, look, you got to give those people a...
And they go out to Wimbledon.
That's right.
You know Chris McKendry?
Yeah, that's her name. Yeah.
They just gave... Does she just live there now?
I think she basically
did ESPN
there.
Just move her out there just to
that's
cover
the only time
tennis?
We hear from her, right?
I feel like maybe Australian Open, we see her hosting their coverage.
Back and forth
maybe
from France.
That's what I wonder. Is she international now?
Oh, I think
you never
she's
see her in like Bristol anymore.
No, you do not.
Or LA or anything.
Yeah, I can't remember
they
the last time.
They made her worldwide.
She's and the tennis woman.
The tennis woman. She is, though.
And by the way, I mean, Jannik Sinner just laid absolute waste to our supposed best. Straight sets. Ben Shelton. You guys tell me Ben Shelton is the next great thing.
I didn't tell you that.
He just got put out in straight sets, man, by a quote-unquote injured Jannik Sinner.
I stopped watching when Agassi went bald.
Yeah, it seems like we're going to get another, what was it, the French Open? The Alcaraz Center Classic. I'm pretty sure that was it. That's the one they play on clay. Roland Garros. Yeah,
you spent a good deal of time on it.
We're gonna get a rematch in the Wimbledon final, and then by the time we get to the U.S. Open, which is a little bit later in the year, all the good players will be exhausted, and so someone random like maybe a Ben Shelton or Taylor Fritz can have a chance.
I saw the homie Lawrence Bowers over at Wimbledon. It was great to see.
Really?
A former Memphian.
He's there?
Memphian. Yeah, went. Did a video, got the suit on.
What in the world?
He did got the whole video. Wimbledon strawberries. Memphian moved. He's worldwide now. Big in Colombia, obviously haven't played in Missouri. He does camps. Him and Damari Carroll do an exhibition together.
Yeah.
But he was at Wimbledon with his wife, I believe.
All right.
He's living a great life, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lawrence Bowers.
Shout out, dude.
Flexing at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Check it off the bucket list.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't you want to go to Wimbledon and flex?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go to Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Where is that? It's not France. Where is it? Is it Britain?
London. Yeah,
London. I want to get to London, but my wife says it's a very boring
Everybody
place
says
to
it's
aspire
gray,
to.
It's going to rain. Stop. Go look at his video, and you tell me that doesn't look like fun.
Yeah. Like, what seems better than going to, like, and I'm not saying London. I'm saying, like, England. Like, it doesn't have to be London. It could be, like, Birmingham, you know?
Binghamton.
Yeah, Binghamton, whatever.
We call it the Hamp.
That's Binghamton. Right. But the English version.
Yes.
Please. And you know what seems better than going over to a true authentic English pub and taking in like you know one of the football matches? What's better than that? That seems awesome, like a real one though. Like a you know.
I'll let you do the football soccer. I'll go to Wimbledon with Lawrence Bowers.
Right. I just want to see what it's like over there, man.
Because you said the tennis is back and forth, man. It's how you know. I used
right.
To
it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Just see it over.
You had that level of spring fling.
Mm-hmm. Back when we used to have the big boys at the racket club.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Fast-paced action.
It's
much
sad.
Better than man.
I didn't appreciate tennis while we had it.
Let you and Wolf have soccer.
Yeah. Well, I'm
the great David Wolf.
Yes. Man, shout out to David Wolf. Still doing it big at Houston. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN. Black Tie Movement is changing movement in the city of Memphis. Wherever you are, if you're moving in Memphis, if you're moving out of Memphis, cross town, cross country. You got to use my friends at Black Tie Moving. 316-6196. You're going to get the red carpet black tie treatment. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on the budget that you guys agreed to. They are the best. But you got to get on the schedule. Call them today. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving. Change the movement in the city of Memphis. Every day around this time, we need a rundown. Let's go. All right. So, Memphis basketball is sort of doing its, you know, continuing its tour and jaunt around Memphis. I don't remember. Tigers on Tour, I think is what they're calling it. And last night, the third stop of Memphis Athletics Tigers on Tour stopped at Brookhaven. And Penny Hardaway, of course, was there. I don't know if he's been at every single one of them, though. I don't think he has. Maybe he has. I don't want to.
I feel like he has.
Has he been at every single one?
I feel like he has.
Okay.
Feel like he has.
Shout out to Penny, man.
I think he's done all three.
Penny's really carrying the athletic department right now. You know what I mean? Like, he's showing up. I appreciate that. Like, because Silverfield was not there for this one.
Had the Cramsey ball.
Though. Right, it was Cramsey.
Cramsey makes $1 million.
Now, your volleyball coach, Sherry Lindsay, was there last night.
Got to have her on the show. Got to have her on the show.
Yep. Were you there for this one last night?
I did not pop in. I thought about it because I love me some Brookhaven. You know I love them.
Yeah, you certainly.
We used to have team meetings at Brookhaven.
We did. We did.
That was for when John, before he turned national.
That's right. No more team meetings. Absolutely right. But he was there last night.
Too many jobs around here.
That's exactly. Yeah, that, that's brother. True. And the most important one of all.
You guys have lots of jobs.
Dad.
I got no time.
Dad.
I love you guys.
That's the most important job.
I'll go get some chicken fingers and bring them in from Brookhaven one day. I'll just bring them in.
Goodness, they're tenders.
Tenders. Jason loves them tenders.
Whatever you want to call them. They're fantastic. Yeah,
I always get them because when I see you
if
get them,
you
I always
like
get them.
To bring that boss one day, it would be such a blessing.
It's the least I can do for all you do around here.
Oh, that's, my God. That's exactly I don't do as much as you two, though. You have 30 jobs between
you. You and I do the same thing.
I have one job.
Mine's still, but I don't get the extra checks like John. John gets an extra check for his a la carte.
I don't get the checks, man. I don't get it. I need to check on that. Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry.
On the checks.
But I will say this. there's a spot in the Memphis area that has the best wings.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna gatekeep.
Careful.
I'm gatekeeping.
Where's this careful. Going? Where's this going?
Just be careful.
I'm gonna gatekeep.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say.
No.
I know that people don't like that.
Well, we were talking about how good the tenders are at Brookhaven. What do you have to say about Brookhaven? Nothing but good things.
Yeah, everyone, you know, in a past life when I lived close to Brookhaven, I was there quite a bit.
I know.
His hat says where he goes now, Jason. Have you seen his new hat, his new upside-down skybox hat?
Believe me, I've seen it.
I am a skybox
I'm a loyalist
ambassador.
As well. Yeah, me too.
And, you know, they did, they every time they just, they're awesome.
They are good. They love the station, too.
Do they?
Yeah, they listen loyally.
I know Skybox Frank listens. I do know that.
Those guys do.
Appreciate Frank.
Shout out to Frank, man. But let's just stay on top.
Thank you.
Penny was there.
Can we get a round of applause?
Hey, Penny!
Tigers on tour.
Because it's like what Jay-Z said, right? Penny, you could have been anywhere in the world.
Hold on. Y'all keep asking him to play Tennessee. What did Penny say? hit that drum. Well, y'all asked about Tennessee again last night. Somebody.
Sorry.
My bad. It didn't flow.
I moved my button.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of buttons over there.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
But no, I mean.
Thank you.
Penny, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here with us last night at Brookhaven. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that, man. We appreciate that a lot.
And Ryan can't?
Right.
What's he doing?
Who won the conference last year?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
who's showing up and filling out all the?
So you're trying to drive away.
I'm just saying
receipts.
Are we contractual obligations?
I'm not trying to drive away.
Here's the deal. No, because I was being fun. Doesn't Ryan have some kids on the way or something?
I think he has kids.
I think they have new children.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, then they could have been again. When you have kids, you know, you could have to be out of there. Sometimes you have obligations that go over.
Well, Penny's got
top
a bunch of
the
kids.
Job.
They all play for him, though. Or I guess
Penny's
one of them.
Kids are all adults at this point. I think. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Got Ashton.
Ashton.
Ryan
Becker,
has young kids.
Jaden. Mm-hmm. Latanferny. The daughter. Mm-hmm. His daughter.
Are you for real gonna try to name Penny?
Her name
kids?
Is Latanferny.
Yes.
You're making that up.
I'm not.
You're totally capping on me.
No, I'm not. You didn't know that?
I didn't know her name was
She's a model, by the way.
Latanferny.
So,
as in Anferny?
Latanferny.
Oh, that's a cool name.
It's Penny's. It's like
she's a model, Jason.
It's basically when you name your
son. Yeah.
It's like when you name your son Junior.
She's an adult.
You know?
She's an adult. This is your. Make sure Penny. Y'all better put some respect on this young lady.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, she is an adult.
Shout out to Latanferty, man. For real.
Yeah. I mean, with a career. I'm talking about. She might be one of his oldest, if I'm not mistaken.
He has four children.
Penny does.
Yes.
I believe he's also a grandfather, isn't he? A grandfather.
All about his two daughters and two sons who played for him. Yeah.
I think Latanferty might have.
People magazine wrote about it. Yeah,
but I don't know for sure.
When?
Recently.
Okay, good. I'm very curious.
July 1st, 2025. People magazine.
How many kids? Four.
Four.
This is good to know. The other daughter, I think, was a volleyball player at FACS recently.
Yes.
Yeah. You said two daughters, two sons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, is that it? Ashton, Jaden?
Jaden, Ashton, Latanferny, and his young daughter.
And then the youngest daughter, yes. I think, I want to say, recently graduated of FACS, played volleyball and some other, maybe another sport.
Yeah. Well, I think Latanferny has a child, which would, again.
Oh, make Penny a.
Penny's a grandpa.
Yeah.
But
youngest daughter was born in 2005.
You know, we don't ever hear Penny talk about being a grandpa. I think he's, you know, some people don't like being a grandparent. They're like, they don't want the label. They fight the age thing.
It's the label.
But Penny's a very young grandfather. Mm-hmm. I mean, Penny's like 50, right? He's not even, I don't even think he's in his late 50s. I think he's like early 50s, if anything. He's 53.
Brad, can you see if you can play the link that I just sent to you about Penny? I just sent it in your text. It's okay. Maybe that's not the best place to send it. Maybe I should send an email.
Is it about being a grandfather?
No, it's something that Mike said about him.
Mike Davis?
No, Michael Jordan.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
The G-O-A-T.
All right, let me forward
and
it.
And my man, Brother Tate, sent it to me this morning, and I thought when I watched it, it gave me goosebumps.
Now, how come you don't care what Mike Davis had to say?
I met him, by the way, for the first time at the camp.
Yeah.
So humbled. Humbled to meet that gentleman. You're talking about a man that, you know, has been to a Final Four and everything else. Just seemed happy to be here. Here to work for Penny Hardaway, was happy to meet the kid. Seemed, you know, again, a guy that's got as much mileage on and seen as much as Coach has.
Yeah,
to be as into that camp as he was, I was impressed.
So, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, again, in many ways he's a legend. He's been around long enough to be one. Mike Davis.
Well, I think it's good.
Been to a Final Four.
The program having Mike Davis around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like you said, he definitely seen has done it at a high level. Yeah.
I've seen it all.
Not just UAB. It's not just Texas Southern. I mean, he was in the pressure cooker at Indiana.
So I figured, like at Penny's camp, he'd be like, "Man, get the hell out of my face," you know, kind of like that kind of attitude, but kind of like Lionel did me. But no, man, he wasn't like that at all. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, as we proceed, yeah, Penny was there last night, and yes. You know, he was talking about the things that you talk about, which is his scheduling. He says he wants to have one marquee non-conference game every single year. We want to extend series because it gives us an opportunity to play against the best teams in the country. I believe I was reading in, you know, I can't remember if it was Munns or I think it might have been Munns where somebody in the crowd talked about Tennessee. Somebody brought up Tennessee, and of course he said he wants to play Tennessee, but it's not up to him. I mean, it's really, you know, it's the other team.
Shouted at him when he talked about
right.
it, literally, like yelled it out loud.
Yeah. So, yeah, he talked about that. You know, Baylor, Louisville, he said they want to play us. He said, then there's teams that are just not going to do it. They feel like maybe they're bigger than us and they don't have to have that game. I think that's where the, you know, maybe the Tennessee, you know, shout came. But I mean, again, I don't know how many programs that they have reached out to and had those conversations with, but if you're getting yeses from all the SEC teams that we talked about yesterday, the Baylors, the Louisvilles, et cetera, I mean, you're doing pretty damn good.
Penny, it's what you said. I heard you with Jeff. He has the respect of his peers in the college game now. It's not a deal where they look at him and they say, no, you've got a program that's going to hurt us if we lose to you. They respect him as a guy that's leading a tournament program every year, and if you lose to Memphis, it's not going to kill you. They respect him as a coach.
Exactly.
Speaking to the respect that he had as a player, my man Brad says he's got it now. This was sent to me this morning, a reminder, again, of Penny the player.
As much as possible and learn as much as possible from him. And for him to say that just means a world to me because I don't look at myself in that manner of being having him pass the torch from himself to me.
That clip is from 1996.
Wow.
Let that play.
Magic playoff series in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you just heard out of Michael Jordan's own damn mouth who he thought was going to be the next up after him. And it was Penny Hardaway. If only you could turn injuries off in real life. Like you do on 2K. Ain't no telling what that boy Penny would have done.
Said there'd never be another Dr. J.
That's so the beginning of that is Dr. J interviewing Michael Jordan. And he says, who have you been sizing up eyeing as the next one passing the torch on? The man said Hardaway.
That is amazing.
And like I was telling Brother Tate, and I thanked him again for sending that to me, that is a stamp that Jordan has never given LeBron. Now, it feels like he gave it to Kobe at some point. But, you know, maybe it's after, you know, talked about the little brother Kobe was to him at the funeral. I mean, you could see but bro, that's what I'm talking about. The reverence that Mike had for Penny as the next one. Back then, Mike, you know, it's Mike wearing pennies that time. You know, this is where this guy was headed. And this is why he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean,
this is
honestly,
why
you should just, on the, alone.
Just put him in on off the, Michael
off
Jordan,
the
again, having stamped this man. He was two-time first-team All-NBA right in that frame before the injuries come in.
Yep.
And, man, like the brother said, if you turn off injuries, bro, he's already in the Hall. And he should be for what, again, shoes, his already contributions to basketball. You throw a little Penny on there if you want. But it was an era where, no, the championships didn't come for him. But, I mean, he was already representing the future of the NBA. And Mike was ready to give the torch over. You know, he really was.
I mean, yeah.
Just a reminder of what the league thought of Penny and what the league's best. Mike doesn't do that.
Right.
He doesn't do that for guys. He don't want to pass the torch.
Right.
Because he's greedy.
He is. So that's why it's like striking to hear that.
I don't know. Did he ever give it to Kobe in his career? During Kobe's career, did he ever give it to him?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't remember
that. That's what
I'm
saying. No. And you can look at Penny's face when he's asked about it in this interview, and he's like, can't believe Mike said that. Right. It's like, God kind of anointing you in a way.
Yep.
And you could see the look on his face. But it took me back, man, to what Penny was, what he represented just out of Memphis, Tennessee. In that league, he was next up, bro.
Yeah, he was.
In a way that I don't even know. You know, we talk about John Morant sort of couldn't be that in the face. Penny was right there, and Mike had said, this is him.
No doubt. I mean, that's why I think it's huge that he shows up at Tigers on Tour, because I'd have been like, I ain't going. I'm next up. Like Jordan said, I'm next up, so I won't be there tonight. I'll be somewhere else, but I will not be there tonight. I'm going to send your boy Mike Davis. That's why I'm, Mike.
See, he could do that.
He could.
He could do that with this job.
I mean, 100%
is what I'm saying.
100%.
The fact that you got him still here and this engaged. Yeah,
We're joking about this, but let's be real. Like that event last night is the last thing that really matters.
Bro, with people yelling UT at him like that.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you should see. There's a video of it where he's talking about playing marquee game, and somebody's just UT, and he's like, and he's so smooth with it. He's like, yes. I mean, he responds to it. He doesn't take offense that's being yelled and hurled at him. I mean, that's what happens at these things. You know, that's you're there for the fans, so you don't want to come off as you've been flustered by it. Guy just yelling it out at you, and he sucked it, received it, and said, yes, those kinds of teams. That's who we'd like to play. But he doesn't have to be there. He should, in terms of what he was. The brand that he is, but again, he's there doing his job. He's all parts contractually that you're supposed to be obligated to with these appearances, not just coaching the team and expecting everybody to love you and follow you. I really do feel like this dude turned a new, turned over a new leaf last year.
Yep.
And it's a credit to him, man, because a lot of us could have stayed there. I think I would have stayed there with everything I'd accomplished in life. I'm a millionaire. What are you talking about? This town that y'all adored me. I've always put you on my back. Now you're killing me for this job I'm doing that I wouldn't leave you for like Cal did, leave y'all for another college job like Cal did. I think I might have stayed there selfishly. This guy came out of that.
I think he stays there. He just plays the part like most of us, right? We do things in life, especially with boosters.
If it's playing a part, then it's not real change. Is that what you're suggesting?
I do a lot of things every single day that are get-through moments for me that I hate miserably.
Sure.
You would never know. And I think that's probably true of Penny. Because you have to do that in order to raise money and stuff. As John said, I mean, he may be really... Because when you're a millionaire and you're signing autographs all the time and taking selfies, you get real good at that. That's part of it.
I don't know, man. I would say this. I think
Am I wrong, John?
I mean, I think there's definitely... you're putting a smile on it because
it's the happy face.
But I also do think that Penny feels that's why he's here. That's why he's doing it. Is he feels like this civic obligation.
This is what I would offer that there are coaches right now who won't come on this show because we've criticized the job they're doing.
And I disagree with that mentality.
No. Yeah. Just get where
Penny's. Yeah, I know where
Penny
you're going.
Penny Hardaway has come on after we've criticized him. Jason and John don't know a damn thing about it. He could look at it that way, right? Have criticized him and say, but man, he better win this season or else it's over. We've said it. We were one of the ones saying that. He comes on the show and still answers our questions. He's got, there's
That's real change.
There are other coaches here in town who still feel like we're attacking them personally when we criticize the jobs and decide, you know what, used to come on their show all the time. We were all buds. Hell, helped me get the gig. And then don't come on, you see, because they see that as a personal attack. There's Penny Hardaway saying, you know what, my job is to go on there and answer the questions. And whether I like him or not, how I feel about him personally, I'm going to go do the job. That's a guy who's accomplished and should be in a freaking Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I
think Dr. Scott has helped that process.
I think Penny has talked about it too, Dr. Scott and Tim Duncan helping him. But as those guys reminded us, it's Penny that has to make the change, right? You can hear it and they can tell you that stuff. But until the millionaire decides, I'm actually going to apply this, doesn't matter at all what they're saying. You know, and that's what I'd say. I'd welcome Ryan on and everything else, but there's Penny Hardaway doing the job. There's a humility that comes with that when you're willing to sit with us couple of hobos and answer these questions because you feel like you owe it not to the hobos themselves, to the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
To the fan base of the program that you're coaching. I mean, that's a level that plenty of other folks ain't come to. You know, and it's not just Ryan Silverfield.
Yeah.
You know, we've had other folks that used to be buds here that, you know, don't come on like they used to, because we've had to say things about the job they're doing, just like I'm sure that they would, you know, in those situations. If we're, again, analyzing the jobs we've done, John, that's our profession. It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
No, of course not.
But some take it as that. We've talked about the dynamic with Josh and how he saw it differently after.
Yep.
Some coaches can see it during, some can't. Penny saw it during, and I think truly changed.
Yeah,
I really
no.
do.
I mean, I think that's definitely, you know, when you're when you're sort of in the firing line, I you know, everything feels personal. So I do understand that bit of it, but it's not, and you have to understand that it's not. And I think Penny has done a good job of, like you said, like the last guy that has to, like, well, promoting the program is important because we know what the attendance is, but for him, like, it's not, you know, it's not really the difference. But he still feels, you know, hey, I gotta.
As much as that dude's done for Memphis as a player and everything else, giving back, whatever else, money to schools,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. I mean, can you quantify that?
You probably cannot.
And still take that heat from Memphis. That's why I think he was out of space last year. We saw it.
Yeah.
With that MSCS interview,
yes.
he was taking it personal.
Yep.
We all kind of could understand it after everything
That's
he'd
right.
done for the city. Hey, I feel like I put y'all on my back. I've always represented you well.
That's right.
And he stopped. He decided, I'm going to receive this differently. And has.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
credit, all credit to him, because a lot of folks wouldn't have changed, including I'm holding up my hand. I don't think I would have if I'd accomplished as much as he
had. 100%.
I'm looking around, and y'all ain't criticizing these other coaches. They ain't done half the stuff I've done for the city.
Right, and I think that probably was how he, but then you're like, you know, listen, there's two Penny Hardaways, you know? That's the reality. There's two Penny Hardaways as it relates to Memphis. There's the player, you know, and the ambassador that he was,
mm-hmm.
and then there's Penny Hardaway, the Memphis basketball coach. You know, I mean, I do think those are, even though it's the same person, they're two separate entities. And I think, and I sympathize with the fact that, you know, he had to get to a place where he, you know, accepted that, you know, it's me. I wore 25 for Memphis State.
My name's on the Hall of Fame because
yeah.
I gave $1 million
That's right.
to the school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not just have my name on it, because the school yes. needed a Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So different than other coaches in that spot, right? About how you would take it.
There's no coach in America like him,
right? It's so unique,
and it's tangled. It's a tangled ass web, you know. Luckily, unfortunately, we're at a place where, you know, it's not an imminent danger. You know, there were certainly some touch and go moments.
No, it was the season you had last year. Did a lot for him. Wish you could have gotten all that was left on the table, as we've continued to be real about
That's right.
this.
That's
you didn't get everything that was left on the table with that 5 seed.
But, you know, like at times this show will get some darts because there's sometimes a perception that we haven't or don't criticize Penny. And I would just ask people, like, go back and just listen to any show we were doing January 2024. Go back and listen to any show we were doing in January 2022 when they lost to East Carolina with Imani Bates. Like, go back and listen to those shows, man. Go back and read some of my tweets. Like, you know, it's not like we have not – I believe we said that last year, going into last year, he had to get to the tournament, you know, or else there were going to be some very difficult conversations that had to be had. Like, we said those things. I get it. The spoken word is sort of fleeting, you know. If you don't have it on a tweet or a piece of paper or a website, it's like it just goes. I get that. Yeah. I understand that's the nature of things. But we were having those talks. Every time we talk about Memphis football now, it's like, hey, you got to get back to the level that was promised. I mean, because that was the job, and this relates because this is like the tour, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when your job interview, I have to believe that Ryan Silverfield told those people, hire me. Because I know what the level is. I know what it takes. I'm going to continue it better than anybody else that you could hire will.
Oh, I mean, it was a campaign line, bro.
And we still have tax on tips. That's we were promised the Epstein files. We don't have the Epstein files.
He would point to most regular season wins over 2 years. Again, that's how they do you.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know.
He can point to a level of success that you and I know is not commensurate with what you need.
That's right.
Based on what the program's.
That's right.
You know, investing now. So
it's just part of the, you know, it's just part of the equation, man. And again, for Penny, you know, he's talking about the schedule, talking about all these things he has to do to keep the Memphis basketball program at the level that, you know, and yes, like I was having this conversation with Jeff this morning on his show where he was talking about, you know, is this okay? And I said, it's okay. It's okay to just be a tournament team. It's not where we hoped it would be. It's not, you know, going into year seven.
I don't know why. It's just weird. And again, this is not on Jeff. It just seems like maybe us. Where we apply the pressure around here is on that one college basketball job in town. It doesn't seem like we apply the same level of pressure to the professional team in town, the freaking front office. And we're sitting here. I know we're in a position where we're partners with them. That said, you and I, we keep it as real as possible.
That's right.
That's right. Appreciate everything we do, getting that partnership, whatever else it
That's
is.
Right.
But we keep and I don't feel the same level of pressure over there, whether it's Taylor Jenkins, whether it's Isola, whether it's the way Kleiman's handling business. It seems like all the pressure that's ever applied to that point that Jeff's asking you, is this okay? I thought we were, you know, talking about Sweet 16s every 7 years. It's like we're comfortable putting it there, but not on Memphis football or not on Memphis Grizzlies or anything else where they're coming up.
Yeah.
Short.
They are.
What are Penny delivered
last
year.
Their win total is 40.
We got to back off Penny right now because in the end he delivered what he was supposed to, which was the conference title.
That's right.
Both regular season conference, yes.
Yeah.
You let off in the tournament. We get it. Should have gotten more
Tyrese
with that
Hunter
five
was hurt,
seed.
Though. I mean, we could.
And I know, and don't take me back to Baraka on that one.
Yeah.
But back to the point, it doesn't seem like we're as comfortable doing it in those other areas. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't understand. It's like it's even true. When I've made this mention of, well, everybody's saying 40 and a half wins on Grizzlies. This is a real step back you're about to take here. Is this okay? I thought it was win now time. We've changed that. What are we on, new 3 to 5 year window?
Right.
Everybody's like balled up fist. I don't want to be. We don't question that or hold it seemingly to the same account. Both Memphis football and Grizzlies to that same way we're so comfortable doing it with Penny and basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and even before Penny with Tubby. I mean,
no question. Just that job period is going to get it. It always has historically. We've been, and maybe that's part of the reason we're so comfortable putting it there.
I think,
and all the pressure there on that guy.
There's no doubt. And I think I think part of the way we feel about that job now has changed a little bit. You know, I'm talking about you and I, because we know the challenges that the man in charge faces today that the man in charge probably didn't have to face 8 years ago, ten years ago. It's a challenging job in ways that it has never been.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably not accounted for when those conversations are had about, is this okay? Of course, okay. Because now there's a shift. The sands are shifting over there in a way they never have. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you ever... If ever one day it's not Penny Hardaway in that job, it's going to be felt.
I'm just saying, once the guy starts having success, you're not going to be able to keep him.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. Or and the path to that success is going to be that bar to clear is going to be so much harder because
just getting them.
Bro, he is the next coach, and we're just sort of playing this out. If Penny Hardaway is, let's just say he's not the coach. Let's say tomorrow he decided he's going to step down. He's done with it. He doesn't want to do it anymore. Is the next coach going to be able to get on the horn with Scott Drew and my guy at Louisville?
Pat.
Yeah, Pat Kelsey. Is he going to be able to get on the phone with all these SEC schools and all these different people?
Good call here. Yes. No, he's not. Because they're going to fear. They're going to say, dude, if I lose to you with that roster you got,
that's right.
It's going to kill me.
That's right.
It's going to be a freaking quad three loss because I lost to you. I'm not going to play you. Whereas with Penny, it's built in now.
That's
He's earned that respect, like we've talked about, from his peers.
Because, like, let's just say, like, Mark Byington is a really freaking good coach. He was hired by Vandy from James Madison. But let's just say in an alternate reality, he's still at James Madison and Penny steps down and Memphis hires Mark Byington. Like he's a good coach. He ain't gonna have the juice. He ain't gonna have the relationships. He ain't gonna have the respect. He ain't gonna have the cachet. He ain't gonna have the recruiting. He ain't gonna have any of that. You know. And so that even though he's a good coach and he got Vandy to the NCAA tournament last year, that was made possible because they play in the SEC. You know, you come here if you can't schedule, don't even worry about it.
That's for sure.
Stay where you're at.
Well, I'm just telling you, if they do hit it off and go a good 1 or 2 years of winning against a schedule even Penny put together, good luck keeping them.
Oh,
good
he's
luck,
gone.
Because yeah. There's no one that's going to see this like Penny does as yes. the destination
that's
job
exactly right.
in college athletics.
That's right.
No one's going to see it that way. That's Josh right. Pastner wasn't going to see it that way, and yep. neither was it. Obviously, Cal didn't. It's not that. It's not the destination.
That's
kid.
Right.
So yeah, even if you did hit it off,
yep.
And that coach is not going to be able to schedule like Penny, but even if he did hit it off with what was yes. left, he would be gone.
Well, because
you're not going to be able to retain that guy.
If the Josh Pastner era had played out in this era as opposed to the pre-NIL, he would have left for USC on the first ring. And he regrets that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it was different because there was no rev share. There was no NIL. It was like USC kind of like a middling job in a tough conference.
Yep.
I'll just stay where I'm at. I got this recruiting class coming in. He would have left on the first ring in 2025 because it's like, oh, I'm getting Big Ten rev share. Mm-hmm. I'm getting Big Ten NIL. I'm gone. Like, no questions asked. So you lose. And again, we know that the end of it, you know, didn't end up playing out very well. But if Memphis had lost Josh at that time with that class, it would have felt devastating. And that would have happened in this day and age, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Anybody. If you're at Memphis, if you're at, anywhere that's not Gonzaga, basically, right? If you're in any of these, and they're unique because they're a non-football school.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at a Group of Five basketball program that has a football program, and a power, it doesn't matter what school. Power Five calls gone. Yeah. Even at Memphis,
huh?
Even at, because they're just paying more, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And as to you, as to your players, it could be like Minnesota, bro.
Yeah.
And they're leaving. You know, so it's just a new era, and you know where Memphis fits into it is going to be. You know, I'm hopeful, but you know, if it's not Penny. It's a big unknown.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I don't know like who you're hiring, who you're picking from. Are you going like you're not getting a sitting head coach from a Power Five? That's impossible. Like that need not unless he's on the verge of being fired. And then do you want a coach that's on the verge of being fired? No, you don't want that guy. So you got to go to a lower level to begin with, and that's going to be a crapshoot.
I don't think it's like football to where in terms of who you'd attract. That those Power Four assistants or whatever else are going to look at Memphis and say, I can flip that fast because it's an easy conference in football and everything else. I can finish top three or whatever, be like Sumrall, be like Fritz, whatever it's
right.
But on that basketball side, it's difficult.
It is 100%
number one,
difficult.
We see how difficult it is to schedule. You
yes.
got to be Penny Hardaway or whatever
yes.
else. Then you have to go perfect in the AAC.
Yes.
It's a tougher job to win at,
yes.
right? And you're only putting 6,500 in seats. It's not like
that's
you're
right.
all of a sudden going to have 15
that's
to
right.
18K you can show the next school.
That's right.
But my part, it's a tougher gig, right? Ryan's winning 8-9 games blindfolded almost. It's a tougher gig in basketball
facts.
To tell yourself, I'm going to jump from that job yep. back to the Power Four. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
So I don't think it attracts in that same way
and
that football potentially can.
And there's one more
difference.
There's one more element.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations.
Yeah.
You're expected at Memphis, just that's just yours are,
1,000.
To compete at a national
1,000%.
Level.
It's the history of the program.
With a budget that pales. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, well, damn, I'm already taking this job. I got one hand tied behind my back.
It's two different gigs. One's much tougher than the
Memphis
other.
Memphis football, it don't matter. And they recruited a high level for where they're at, right? And it's like there's no pressure. There's no pressure in this city. There's no if Ryan Silverfield goes 6-6 next year, he's got a job.
I think so. I'm afraid so.
You know,
we'll
he,
see. If there's a new
I mean, they're not firing Ryan Silverfield
not
after
with four
six
more
six.
Years left on his deal. I mean, I don't think they're going to
if he
do
goes
that.
6-6 for three straight years, they might fire him. But it's going to take that.
Maybe just because of the financial ramifications. Maybe you have to. I'd hate that you couldn't pay a buyout that's ended up being
right.
less than $10 million,
yes.
I think, paying the 60%.
Yes.
Still, maybe that's be the nature of things. Because in the end, we don't have what the Power Four's got on
that's
their
right.
ref share.
That's right.
You know, if you don't have some booster stepping up and saying, with all this passion, here's the money, I'll do it myself.
That's right.
It's going to be tough.
And well, and the other part, too, is like in the group, in football, you still have that spot. You know what I'm saying? Like you
yes,
still,
yes,
you,
that's the other part of football and the
and
opportunity that's on that side.
You're getting crapped on every which way. I know they're expanding the tournament or whatever, but that ain't for you. You know, you're just scratching a claw and trying to be a 9 seed in the AAC. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, basketball is just getting the short end of it. And, you know, Penny, I know that the results have not been where we hoped they would be, and there have absolutely been years where there was money left on the table. But there's a very real world where this is as good as Memphis can do. Like, what's happening with Penny? Penny is the best Memphis can get. And so I know we, you know, 2 years ago when he had that interview, right, where he was like, he scorched earth, right, when he was talking about, you know, if I leave, it's all going down.
Yeah.
At the time, we're like, man, you know, you shouldn't say that. You can't say that. But now I'm like, that man was right. Maybe the way he said it was not, you know, ideal, you know, but the message, I think, is probably more accurate than inaccurate in terms of.
That was the last. That's what we're talking about with the turnaround, right? Wasn't that summer? Part of the last summer? The
oh yeah,
interview
it
with MSC.
It wasn't even 2 years ago.
Yeah,
no, this is turning it all down. This is before last season. Before he turned
the quick move.
Hey,
yeah.
Red Scott but comes in. Yes. Tim Duncan that's says, right. "Calm down, man. We got to, right. you know." And to Penny's credit, again, he receives that.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would have.
Yes, I mean, and
as a human being.
And in fairness, the rev share kicked in, and everything else kind of changed since then. So at the time, you know, Memphis still had a great NIL budget. It's shriveled up, you know, around the country. But yeah, it's delicate, you know, it's delicate. And so that's why, like, when I see Penny at these things, I'm like, you know, I appreciate him going and being there because he doesn't have to be.
That's what I'm telling you. I know some of y'all probably just rolled your eyes at it, but when I see him as into and as ingratiating the community, his camp as he was, really looking like trying to sort of grow, not just to have a camp, hey, the week comes, we'll make our money, put it in the pot, but trying to touch these kids, trying to make some memories and sort of trying to produce a new generation of fans in addition to, yes, I got to win and get them to the games.
Yep.
But I said, this dude's doing this going into year 8 when he could be on a golf course in Phoenix or whatever else, anywhere he wants in the world, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
I'm like, he's still this engaged? Wow.
Yeah.
Memphis, yes, it didn't beat Colorado State in the first game like I wanted it to.
Yep.
You know, it should have been a Sweet 16 maybe last year.
Right.
But this dude is pouring into it. He is doing probably what most coaches in the country could not at this point.
Yep.
Like you said, man, scheduling after Penny.
Don't take that for granted.
This whole thing back with Cal where you've got it right there close. Maybe you get the game, but maybe you don't. But you've got Cal's relationship sort of, it's fixed and it's right there to be patched up. And you get to the point where maybe you get something out of it regular season.
Yep.
You know, that's because of Penny. You know, that's because of Penny Hardaway that got him in there to do that podcast and everything else. Anybody can't do that stuff.
Yep. Nope, they cannot.
You're
so,
right. You're right.
Hey, appreciate what you have, you know, because the other side is, you know, very much uncertain. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We got a lot more to get to today on the show. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Peach Jam, his roster this week in terms of prep. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John on Eternal FM. Yes.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us, and we'll continue our discussions about summer basketball. Of course, he will be of the amateur ilk with the Peach Jam, and the professional ilk is going on. It will really, truly begin in earnest tomorrow in Vegas. The Grizzlies just capped off a generational against the spread run in Utah. 3-0 against the spread. Amazing. One outright game one. Covered with the G.G. Jackson three that was not a three. And then last night, I don't know who it was. Somebody hit a meaningless three-pointer down four.
Lord.
Yeah, how about that?
That stuff, that is, you degens.
I'm telling you, man.
Let me see who hit that.
Who was it? Because they closed like 3.5.
I'm going fourth quarter.
Plus 3.5.
Was it a...
But your boy
Aaron Estrada.
Oh my!
25-foot 3-point step back shot.
What an absolute
cut it to one.
Legend. And then they didn't foul. I guess they didn't have time to foul.
Not to be confused with Eric Estrada, who used to be on Chips, I think.
Right.
He's the
police
cop.
Different person. But yeah,
might be his son.
I was the only bet I had yesterday was the Heat pick 'em, That's all I had. I had the Miami Heat. I
can't believe you're betting on this stuff.
Oh, this is the best stuff to bet.
This is the good stuff, huh?
Yeah, this is so good because, I mean, even after the Grizzlies' big three was ruled out, you got like 5 minutes to go bet the 76ers plus two without Cam Spencer, Jalen Wells, and G.G. Jackson. Like, what the hell? The Grizzlies should not be favored without those dudes. Yeah. Then they rested everybody. Bacot didn't play. Pullen didn't even play. I mean, they didn't even put Zion Pullen out there, bro. That was the crazy part. And he's had a terrible summer league. I figured he sure give him a chance.
Well, Gigi doesn't respect him and won't let him get the shot.
Well, and maybe he was correct in doing that. I don't know. But, yeah, that was yesterday. So Utah wrapped up, and now we are full speed ahead to Las Vegas. Now, Vegas Summer League is a big event. I mean, there used to be there were articles a couple of years ago about how it started as just a little 8-team deal, and then, you know, this billionaire started putting money into it. And I think the whole thing was that it's not actually affiliated with the NBA, right? It's just the Las Vegas Summer League, and the NBA teams play in it, but it's not like an NBA-organized function. It's kind of weird. It's like its own thing. But most NBA teams do play in this thing. I think they all play in it, and it will begin tomorrow. Grizzlies will not play until Friday. The favorites are the Toronto Raptors and the Utah Jazz. Those are the favorites to win. And again, we talked about this a little earlier in the show. They have the most rotation players, guys who got 600 plus minutes. Now, what are the Grizzlies? What did you say the Grizzlies were, like 10-1?
Yeah. They had fifth best odds.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.